Here we are in episode 43 of Personalities at Carey, your very own WP Carey full-time MBA podcast. Today we are talking with Haley Magelman. Haley has joined us with a background in nonprofit fundraising. She's concentrating in supply chain and business analytics. And she interned at Amazon over the summer of 2018. So let's get to know the beautiful personality of Haley Magelman. All right, everyone, we are with Haley Magelman. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, and we are on episode number 43. So you're almost at the halfway point there with all the second years. So say hi to everyone.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. So let's get started with our first question, which is normally, what is your background? Where do you come from? What brought you to WP Carey?
Sure. So I came from like up the street. I grew up, I was born in Boston. I lived in Arizona since I was five in Scottsdale. And then I moved to Tempe to go to school for undergrad at ASU. I studied marketing also in WP Carey and sustainability. After that, I worked in an architecture firm doing marketing and proposals and a lot of and some sustainability stuff, actually. And then I ended up finding an opportunity at JNF, Jewish National Fund, which we raised money for Israel for projects all over the country, but mainly in the north and the south to help build communities and support Israelis and provide water renewal and all this R&D investment and stuff. So I worked as a campaign executive and became senior campaign executive there for about three and a half years. And then I decided I really wanted to kind of pivot to more of an analytics role or supply chain. And I knew ASU was one of the strongest schools for supply chain management. So I applied to, I think, 8 schools, Penn State, Michigan State, Carnegie Mellon, ASU. Those were kind of some of the top ones. And I looked around, literally like went to different schools and toured. And I just knew that with the Forward Focus Scholarship and the emphasis on both sustainability and supply chain management, ASU was really the right fit. And I also knew that even though I would be local, there would be people coming from all over the world. So I at least knew that there would be a whole new network of really impressive individuals. So I decided, and I really liked the culture, actually, when I went to when I was doing my interview and sat through a class. So I just decided that that was going to be a good opportunity, and I think I made the right decision.
Good. And so you say your experience has been really good over here in the past 1 year?
Yeah, it's been really good. I think it's been what I expected in some ways, but I definitely a different type of personality, like just the population. I expected a different type of person in my class, I guess. So okay. Like, does that make sense? So
different type of people?
Yeah, like okay. I thought that I knew that business students in undergrad, I thought that there was kind of a certain profile of business students. And I think I liked that almost everyone in our class is really impact driven and really focused on bettering the world and not just themselves and have kind of a unique reason for being in the program. So that's something I appreciated because I met people at other schools who I just didn't really resonate with. And I knew that the population that I knew of and then also that I've even observed in the class have been just so passionate. And that was really, really exciting for me.
Okay. So apart from, say, the curriculum, anything else that stands out to you about WP Carey?
So I think it has to do a lot with the type of students that they were looking for in the program. So I definitely think that just the structure of the school is unique, having the forward focus mentality. The curriculum, I think, is actually impressive. I think we do a lot more than some of the other schools. I think it's very fast paced. And I think we have a lot of really impressive professors who are really, you know, experienced and knowledgeable, and they're able to challenge us. Also, the way that the program structured, I just think is very unique with the fusion labs, the kind of the, like even this, you know, Carey collaboration working with undergrads. Before that, you feel so siloed, you know, undergrad versus graduate. I never knew any grad students when I was an undergrad. And even that, it actually provides kind of a different perspective on this whole dynamic of we're in this greater university and we're able to get involved. You and I are both mm-hmm. going to downtown Phoenix to work with the School of Social Work, which mm-hmm. I never would have expected. I think it's a cool opportunity that we get to do. So yeah, I think it's overall really surprising in some ways.
Anything else apart from that, maybe like the clubs, the career services, or any events that happen on campus, something you've really wanted to promote or wanted to recommend to other people when something like that yeah. happens again?
Well, I think I'm a big fan of doing and being exposed to as much as possible. I've done a few CASE competitions, which I thought were really unique. I did the Patagonia one last year, and that was cool because I learned more of, it was more of a business practical project, and we got to actually think about the company and really like what their vision is for how they're going to become carbon neutral. And we did a lot of research. It was just, a different type of way of thinking of things. Also, I'm in the McGill CASE competition, and that's been fun because I do want to work in circular economy or some sort of reverse logistics role. And that was really good to see and to just have the content and all of the academic stuff that they actually have shared with us. So I didn't know about CASE competitions before starting business school. I didn't know that that was a thing. Mm-hmm. And that's been cool that our class especially has really owned it and been very active, people traveling all over the country to do them. So I would say that was probably something that surprised me the most.
Okay. And you also got a chance to go to Japan this year. How was that experience?
Yeah, it was cool. So I really also was looking for schools that had an international focus because I never got to study abroad in undergrad. So I wanted to do that. And that was kind of something I thought I'd have to sacrifice by going to ASU for my MBA. And then they started promoting a Japan and Peru study abroad trip, career track, but also just traveling. And it was really fun. It was nice. It was beautifully done. We had a great tour guide. We had preparation, so we had to research and do our own kind of background research going into the trip. So we had a baseline understanding, but we also had companies like Coca-Cola, Adidas, Yamato Transport. It's like the UPS of Japan. And we got to actually visit these sites and understand the difference of doing business in Japan versus here, different cultural things, different just things in their society, food, everything. So we had fun. We took it very seriously and we got to, get exposure to all these different companies. But even as a class, I think just like the people who were on it, it was a nice culture just to not be so stressed about school and those type of, priorities, but actually get to travel and, see something different and learn, just get exposed to a new culture altogether.
Nice. So definitely there's an opportunity to go to Peru. So
I'd say
other people should also take that.
Yeah. Are you going to go?
I don't know yet.
You don't know? Yeah. I just signed up. I'm a little more anxious for that one. Okay. But I think it's just, if it's something, some people have a lot of global experience and people said, oh, I've already been to Japan. If you do want to work in international business in the future, and you just want to understand what it's like to be in a culture that's very different from yours. Japan's so different from here. I think maybe some international students already had the culture shock experience, but it was cool. It was actually something else that I think that we don't recognize enough is in Japan, we had a lot of expats speaking to us. So they actually talked about, this is what's different. This is what I've observed. This is what you guys want to be aware of. For Peru, I think it's more of a kind of a, not a humanitarian project, but it's more of working with NGOs and actually doing kind of a consulting service versus just absorbing and learning. So it's just a different type of trip. But yeah, I think if people want to study abroad and haven't gotten the opportunity to, it's a really good opportunity.
Okay. So coming back to what you said about your concentration, you came here with a supply chain concentration in your mind. Maybe you've added on something else, have you?
I've actually started with supply chain and business analytics. Mm-hmm. Okay. I added for a little bit the sustainability specialization, but I've already studied it in undergrad and it just didn't work out with my schedule. But yeah, so I stuck with what I signed up for from the beginning, which is pretty amazing.
Very few ones that I've come across who have stuck with their
concentration. I know. I really like the CIS classes that we took, and I just... That was probably the main reason I wanted to go back to school, was I was just so sick of being at work trying to run reports and say, like, no one understands that data is more, you know, is actually important to look at and analyze and predict. I think that was the biggest thing, was like the machine learning element, that I just knew there was a way of doing things that we just weren't doing. So I really think that analytics is something that business people should have awareness of.
So do you have a favorite course you can point us
to? I would actually say, so I'm in CIS 509 Data Mining 2, and I think it's a challenging class, but I really like it. We're learning Python. We're going to be doing, we're doing social network analysis, and it's just interesting that there really are a lot of mechanisms and a lot of tools. So it's a good challenge, I would say. So that's probably one of my favorites. I really love the professor. Hina's really good at teaching it, explaining it well, but also making it flexible for students who do want to spend more time on their own studying, or people who are pretty already knowledgeable about it. They don't have to invest as much time, but she does a good job structuring the course.
Okay. Can you give us a little bit of idea of how you went about getting your internship last year?
Yeah, sure. So I interned at Amazon Web Services last year. I was the senior program manager. I was really anxious about the job concept and just getting a job for after MBA, because I knew that, like, I had actually applied for supply chain jobs, just, you know, why not? And I wasn't getting any responses because I had no background in it. So I knew that just the process would be challenging. So I kind of worked backwards. I actually was at Carnegie Mellon during their women's weekend, and somebody started talking about the Forte conference. And they said, yeah, it's great because, you know, there's a job fair and you can already start getting interviews. And I researched it, and I knew that the one in 2017 was going to be at Amazon. And I had this kind of theory that I would be, my like passion was, well, Amazon has a lot of waste. I want to get their waste down. So I want to work in some sort of role in their sustainability team. That's what I need, sustainability, packaging, something. I want to work for Amazon. That was like my like direction, just because it's very like, you know, in your face. And so I said, why don't I go? So this conference was happening at Amazon. I'm like, they're probably going to be having job off, like, you know, having a bigger push for recruiting at that conference at Amazon. So I specifically registered for the conference, and then I realized that you had to be in a school that was a Forte fellow, like it's a small list of schools that are even Forte like certified or whatever. I don't know how they describe it. So I said, okay, well, I have to knock off some schools from my list. And people thought I was crazy, because it's like, that should not be a reason to not go to a school because of this one fellowship. But I just was very focused. So I actually registered for ASU before I registered as a student at ASU before I even was registered at ASU, because I just needed to sign up. I signed up for the conference literally the day it was available. I paid for it myself. I didn't know if the schools I was going to would actually cover it. I was just like, I'm going to this thing. And I, excuse me, I did, it was an early application round. And so I got to apply for senior program manager. I didn't also applied for like the retail leadership development program, did not move forward with that one, but the senior program manager was described as a supply chain and logistics role. So I thought it would be that. It ended up being more of an analytics role, but still very, very valuable. So I do recognize that I had a had an advantage that males wouldn't have had, which was obviously a, you know, hard thing to accept, because I know a lot of my peers would have been really, really strong assets to Amazon. But that was kind of my crazy way of getting there.
All right. So I know that you study a lot and you're mostly busy because you're part of MBA, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have something to tell us about the MBA?
Like anything? Yeah. So I joined the MBAA. It's the MBA Association, and it's kind of the student government for MBA, for the program, for full-time students. So I kept on telling myself I wasn't going to be in a lot of leadership positions. And then I just found this role last year as a first-year rep. And now I'm the VP of finance. And what we really are trying to do is take a very small pool of funds that come in from a student's matriculation fees. So it's based off how many first years are in there. And we try to support clubs and student events. So we have a monthly takeover, which is just like a happy hour or some sort of social event, sometimes a picnic. We try to make some family friendly. And then we also have big events. So the big event, actually one is tonight. It's more with MCA, but the Multicultural Association, but it's a India dinner. And then we also have the holiday party every year. And then we organize the second year send off, which happens at graduation. So we're kind of like the catch all for all student engagement, like not, you know, extracurricular, and supporting the clubs. We've been able to work with the academic clubs on campus, so marketing, supply chain, all those. But then we've also had more of, I guess, cause oriented, so like Net Impact, Standout. And then we've had more, I guess, very extracurricular, like the Wine Society, and the golf club. And even just since I've been there, it's been really cool to see new clubs join. So we had, I think Standout was the first club last year that said, you know, we want to create a new club and focus on LGBTQ causes and have, you know, programming specifically for this group. So we started having more social oriented clubs. And I like that because it's just another kind of community that students can have. There's the Women's Leadership Association. So it's hard for me as VP of Finance because I get to allocate the funds and I want with my committee and I want to support everybody because we have so much engagement, all of our student leaders. I mean, you see, you're one of them. Like, we just have so much involvement in our class. And everyone has such good ideas. And what's hard is that people can't do things because of money. So we have been working hard to, you know, reach out to the dean, to reach out to our leadership and say, you know, what should we be doing internally, but also what can we do to engage donors? So working with the foundation, we have a development professional we're working with to try to get some end of year campaigns going. And then what can we do with alumni to engage them? And what the solution is an endowment that students fund when they graduate and, you know, pledge to give to. And that those resources go to engaging alumni who will hopefully provide, you know, an exponential amount of resources. So, you know, it's hard with a full scholarship or, you know, significant financial aid because students don't necessarily go in to the program expecting to have the same financial kind of structure or budget as probably other MBA programs. So we have to explain to students that we have this amazing opportunity, but with it comes fewer resources. So how can we be creative about how we spend money? So we're really hoping that students realize that this is a long-term thing. We're all going to be very fortunate in the future and that we can give back and pledge at least to a class gift that we can use to kind of have the constant reinvestment into future programs in the school.
And do you have this already started out?
The endowment. So actually class of 2018, which was the first forward focus class, they started the endowment. So Jordan Johnson was leading it last year, and it's an active endowment with the foundation. It has to be endowed. So it's still waiting to, you know, meet that criteria, but it's an official fund that people can give to. So we'll be doing more of a push in the spring, but it's really cool when you are, you know, getting offer letters and thinking about, okay, what's my budget going to be in the future? What can I do to give back to this program that's done so much to me? So I hope people, people have already actually started talking to me about it, which is amazing. But I really hope we think long term and think about, you know, reinvesting back into a program that's done so much to us.
Yes. All right. So coming back to the school life, do you have any time outside of working so hard?
No. You don't? I do sometimes.
Okay. And what are your hobbies? What do you do for fun?
Yeah. So pros and cons of living and growing up here is that I have a lot of friends and family who are in Arizona. So I try to still see friends that aren't my business school friends. So I have, you know, I try to balance that and, you know, hang out. I've been going to a lot of weddings this year, apparently. It's just a coincidence. And otherwise, I have a dog, so I like to walk her a lot and try to be active with her. I also like working out. My main thing is Krav Maga, it's an Israeli martial art. I do that as much as possible, and it's just a hobby. It's a good way to punch things and get all of your anger out. And, you know, you can't really think about, like, finance and, you know, I don't know, Python and all this stuff when you're just trying to focus on, like, how to choke somebody. It's really great. Or when you're being choked, actually. That's actually the worst.
Wait, are you being choked?
You just get choked in class and you're like, anything that could have bothered me, really all I need to do is save my life right now. So it's fun. It's a great, great, you know, anxiety solution. But yeah, I try to stay active. Working out's really important to me. So I try as much to fit that in when I can.
Okay. And do you like movies?
I do. I don't watch a lot of movies, though. Okay. You're going to ask me what my favorite movie is, aren't you? Yeah, I actually, I was like, what should I say? So I'm going to do a shout out to a movie that my sister and I loved when we were growing up. It's called The Tenth Kingdom.
Okay, I haven't watched it.
I think it's an 8-part miniseries that ABC did, and we watched the whole movie, which is six hours long. And it takes, like, it's like a fairy tale kind of thing, and it takes the Grimm's fairy tales and embeds it into, like, these different kind of storylines. Mm. It's really funny. It's hilarious. I would recommend it, but you might want to watch it in chunks because it's a lot.
Okay. Did they air it in chunks and then?
Yeah, it was. Okay. It was like, I think it was 8 weeks long on ABC, and now it's, I think it's from like 2001. It's so sad, like, how long ago that was. But yeah, it's so it kind of has like that retro look, but it's a good movie. It's just fun. It's really delightful.
Is it like a memory that you have, or have you watched recently and it has aged
properly? No, it's just a memory now.
Okay.
I haven't watched it in probably, I don't know, 8 years.
Yeah, sometimes people do that. They have a very good memory of something, and then if they watch it later, in like 10 years later, then
I won't like it.
Oh, no.
So I've watched clips like since then, and I'm like, that's still funny. But you're right. Maybe I should make sure it's still my favorite before I start recommending it to people.
What about your favorite TV show?
TV show. Oh, that's tough. I was watching Westworld last year a lot, so I would say Westworld's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch the second season as well?
No.
No. I haven't watched the second season.
Yeah,
a lot of investment.
You just get addicted to it. So I'm going to have to keep, maybe in the next quarter I'll have time.
Yeah, it's been very busy through MBA to like actually binge watch stuff.
I know.
But yeah. What about favorite genre of music or an artist?
Genre of music. So I like alternative. I like, so one of my favorite artists because of the concert was Train.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. We literally sat in the last row, so you expect to have like a horrible time, but he was amazing. He performed with Andy Grammer, and they were just hilarious. It was their last show of their tour, so they were just like pranking each other the whole time, and the whole thing was, it was great. It was really fun. So I would say Train was probably my favorite band, I guess. But alternative music's like what I like to listen to.
Do you read a lot of books?
I don't. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to books on tape all the time. Okay. But the book that I probably would say is the most interesting is Predictably Irrational.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Dan Ariely.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so I really enjoyed that book and I reference it a lot. So I would recommend it.
Is it fiction or nonfiction?
No, it's nonfiction. So Dan Ariely, he produced the film we watched in the ethics class. And so I just blanked on the name of that, but
Dishonesty.
Okay. So he researches, it's like the psychology of like irrationality basically. Mm-hmm. And that's like his whole, that's what he researches. So this whole book is just about how people do the way people think. I actually read it the first time in a consumer behavior class that I took in undergrad, and it gets you to realize kind of how to prioritize, and when you're doing things that just are irrational. So, you know, you don't really think about things that way typically.
Is that the guy who actually like giving the...
Yeah, he talked about... Remember he talked about the accident and stuff?
Oh,
yeah.
That's his name.
So he's amazing. And I've just... Mm. Every time I see his name on something, I always enjoy it because... and he's Israeli, so maybe that's why I have a bias. But I just like thinking about people that way. I really enjoy thinking about consumer behavior because I think... With my kind of like sustainability thing, it's like if you're going to get people to actually rethink how they do things, you need to think about when they're being irrational and rational and how to kind of get them to act differently.
Is that something that can be used for when you're at your job and you want to ask something of your boss?
Yeah.
Make sure their mood is right.
Well, it's kind of, yeah, it's about anything, like, it's about how you're kind of positioning things, how you're anchoring. That was a lot of stuff that we talked about. So just getting people to realize, like, how to prioritize, you know, big decisions versus little decisions. Like, there's, like, decision fatigue if you just are always worrying about the little things and then the big stuff happens and you just are, you know, reckless about it because you've been – you're just so mentally exhausted. So I like thinking about that and getting people to realize they're sometimes not as rational as they think they are.
Okay. What about a favorite person in history that you'd like to have coffee with and get to know them better?
This is hard. So I was thinking I've been thinking about this. I think somebody who, for me, because I have this obsession with Israel, I would probably say Golda Meir. She was one of the founders. And I think what's interesting is just, you know, I'm not a big feminist per se. I don't really resonate with that kind of mentality. But I think that, you know, in her time, just being such a strong female is really impressive. And just having the drive and the leadership, she ended up being a prime minister. And she's just always been fascinating to me, and I love watching videos of her speaking. So I would say probably Golda Meir.
Okay. Do you have any pet peeves you want to tell us about?
Yeah, I have a lot. I'll keep it short. I think something that I've learned in the program that I had a young leadership board at JNF, and one of my board members taught me about, he was really adamant about people showing up on time, and what I learned about that was not as much about, you know, yes, obviously things happen, but I learned a lot about people keeping their word and being honest. And I think that that is something that in the program is very apparent. You know, some people, you know, you can count on them. They'll do what they say they will, and they're always going to be reliable, and they'll always communicate, you know, if things change. And I think my biggest pet peeve when it comes to just working with people and just whatever has to get done and just how things operate is just the honesty and transparency. I think that things can, you can go a long way if you are a genuine person and able to really communicate and say, hey, maybe I can't commit to this and I can do this and I'll be late, I'll be there, this is what I like. Like, I think that it takes a lot of, strength for people to actually commit to those. So my pet peeve is when people are kind of inconsiderate about just how they're communicating, and they don't actually have enough self-awareness to know, you know, to say what they really should be saying.
Anything else?
I have a lot, but I don't want to bore you with that. I like, even, you know, people talk, whispering in class bothers me, you know, like, okay, all the time.
Okay.
You don't want to bore me, or you don't want to be bored with that.
All right. So I'm assuming that you're going to go back to Amazon.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Okay. I haven't officially signed my offer just because I'm not looking. But yes, I probably will.
Okay. Do you have a plan for the next 10 years where you want to be?
Yeah, so with Amazon, I think, so the reason I haven't signed my offer is because it's a very ambiguous, you know, opportunity, because I don't know what I'd be doing. I don't know who I'd be working for, or really what the, what the future holds. So I've never had that in a job before. I usually pick a job because of who I'm going to work for, actually. So that's been different. So I'm hoping in the short term, at Amazon, I'll actually get to be in a sustainability team and work with something that actually has to do with maybe energy usage or some packaging, you know, innovation or something, because they do have that. And obviously, it's an important place to do it. And I'd learn a lot. In the long term, something I've been wanting to do is go into some sort of consulting on my own with supply chains and getting them more sustainable. Some sort of business sustainability consulting. But it's more that I think that I need to have a lot more exposure to it and understand best practices in, you know, in industry before I actually pursue it. But that's something I could see myself doing in 10 years from now.
Okay. So you want to own that business yourself?
I would probably just see, that's the thing. I could work for a big consulting company. I noticed, like, even Deloitte has a whole sustainability team. So as far as the, you know, logistics of it, I don't know, but I think that I'd like to have that flexibility where either I can pick, you know, clients or where I can be on a team that's growing a lot and able to make a big impact in the company. So I don't know what type of form it would be, but I would really like to be able to have that kind of more of a consulting role so that it is actually able to make that impact.
Okay. You have any advice to the first years?
You know, well, they've already made it like halfway, so they've made it. If you're still standing, you've made it. Okay. I think with first years, I think everyone comes in with a different challenge, a different goal. I think they probably figured out by now, start looking for a job if you haven't yet. but it's really important to just, I think, being true to yourself, and I think realizing what really makes you happy and what really doesn't make you happy. That's been fun this year, is to say, like, I like taking this class. I don't like this class, so I can drop it, or I'm not going to take it. So I think having that self-awareness is really important. I would say, and this is something I'm still working on, is get to know people in your class and really have take the time to expose your, you know, your network to as many people as possible, because I just always think, like, we're never going to get this chance again. We're never going to have the opportunities that we have now with the people that we have now. So this is a good time to, you know, talk to somebody who you've never talked to before, learn about where they're from, their culture, what they like to do, and let them ask you questions, because it's a good opportunity to explore.
And once you've graduated, how would you like your peers to remember you?
Yeah, that's hard. I hope that people see that, you know, I really do everything with my heart. I don't, you know, I'm not superficial. I really try to be very genuine, try to give everything my all. And I really hope people feel like they can always connect with me if they need anything. And if they need, you know, connections, I'm sure if I'm at Amazon, I'm sure I'll get plenty of requests for, you know, submitting job resumes and whatever. But no, I think it's important. We're in this program for the network and the community. And I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, be a part of that community. So that's something that I want people to be aware of.
Okay. So yeah, this is kind of the end of our podcast. I know you've been working on the endowment fund. We get people to get in touch with you. How should they contact you?
Sure. Yeah. They can talk to me via email, Facebook, person, whatever. Haley, H-A-Y-L-E-Y, I'm sure they'll see it. Magerman, M-A-G-E-R-M-A-N. So it's just my name with a period at asu.edu. The email's probably best. Phones, I don't care, anything. Okay. Text me. If you're willing to give to the endowment fund, I'll show up at your door and take your check. I learned that the hard way at my old job. So yeah, okay. Pretty accessible.
Thanks, Haley, for doing this.
Thank you, Charlotte.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I've had Haley as my teammate in quarter two, and I've always looked up to her for motivation and inspiration since then. Thank you, Haley, for being with us and taking the time to do this podcast episode. To all our listeners, thank you very much for listening. We're available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. Have a wonderful winter break, and I will see you in the next one. Goodbye and peace.